Well, we're glad that you're here with us. I want to take a moment and thank Dr. Daniel Overdorf last week for preaching. Did you enjoy that? Wasn't that good? That was awesome. What a great word. I listened to it. It's actually up on our website now, and I think there's a link also on our Facebook page if you'd like to hear that for the first time or hear it again. Great word. But we started this series a few weeks ago. We talked to you the first week about having, you know, choosing a clear and a clean heart rather than a dirty heart, dirty spirit. And how, you know, a lot of times there's lots of things that keep us from achieving that. One of them we talked about first week was envy. How envy was really a trap that would allow us to think about what other people have and not think about what we have. Or to think about how God has blessed others and not realizing how God has blessed us. Got to stay away from envy if you want a clear and a clean heart. The next week, we talked to you about bitterness. How bitterness was a root and how if we let it take hold in our heart that we could allow this bitter root to poison us and defile our spirit. And we can't do that. Well, today I want to finish this up because next week we start our Christmas Advent season. But I want to talk to you about a whole new subject, and it's a positive kind of thing. Okay, we say no to envy and no to bitterness, but we got to say yes to something else. And I want to say that it's joy. A lot of people today are running on empty when it comes to joy. And the real trick is to understand why. You know, my car has a really interesting feature on it. It has an indicator that when you get 50 miles from empty, there's a little alarm goes off and it says you have 50 miles to empty. And you know, Arlene like runs to the gas station right away. I just kind of like, you know, I got 50 miles. That's like 5 days back and forth to work if I don't go anywhere else. And I watch that thing, you know, and it says, it goes off again. It says 25 miles to empty. I'm not sweating it. The other day, I was actually driving. I looked down, and it said 1 mile to empty. And I was at least a mile and a half from the closest gas station. Because it always pops up after that, and it says, do you want to navigate to the closest gas station? And when it says 1 mile to empty, the answer must be yes. Okay? And before I could get to that closest gas station, it said 0 miles to empty. And my heart kind of fluttered, and I was a little bit scared. But I didn't run out of gas. I got all the way to the gas station, and I filled it up. 400 miles to empty is awesome. But I got to wondering, if I'm still going when it says zero, I wonder how long it'll let me go before it actually runs out. And I decided that that's not something that you need to test, and I'm not going to do that. But you know what? Sometimes we're on empty. There's things about life that drain us, that take our joy away. And sadly, when we get there, we don't know what to do about it. You know, I don't know about you. My favorite candy bar is Almond Joy. You like an Almond Joy? You know, I actually went to Sam's Club. I was going to give everybody an Almond Joy at the end of this service, and I realized it was going to cost about $600. And I just didn't have it, okay? But I did find a little joke about Almond Joy. It said an Almond Joy is kind of like your family. Mostly sweet, but there's always a couple of nuts close to the top. That's better than an Almond Joy candy bar, isn't it? But are you running on empty? Are you low on joy? Listen, if your bottle's empty, if your candy wrapper is empty, if you don't know what to do, if life isn't quite what you want it to be, if life isn't enjoyable, I got a solution for you today. Because listen, folks, life isn't quite as enjoyable when you run out of joy. Isn't that true? Life isn't nearly as enjoyable when you run out of joy. You know, I was thinking the other day, or yesterday actually, I've attended 4 funerals in the last week. I attended the funeral of my mentor and great friend in ministry, Jack Kelly, who died suddenly last week, and his funeral was last Saturday, and I attended that funeral. At that same time, one of our own here, Peggy Audrey, a longtime member of First Church, goes way, way back, passed away. We got back home, and just in a day or so, sweet Margie Stifler from our church here passed away suddenly. And then yesterday, I went to the funeral of June Rossman's brother, Dan Morrison. Nice man. And you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about, man, that's a lot of grief that people are having to go through. And I went home, and I wasn't there very long, and I looked down, and my phone was ringing, and it was Jack calling me on FaceTime. You know, and I was tired. I was kind of down. I was, honestly, be truthful, I was just a little depressed, you know, feeling bad for all these people, you know, and you got to think about who's next. But I answered the phone, and Jack was like, "Hey, Pappy." And in just a few minutes, I found myself playing hide-and-seek on the phone 500 miles away. You know, Arlene was hiding, and Jack and I were looking for him, and then he would hide, and he would literally just lay on the floor and close his eyes, and he didn't think we could see him. I think the whole 500 miles away thing was hard for him. But I would go hide, and Arlene would find me, and then he would hide, and we'd find him. We did this for a long time. And then Jack said, "I love you, Pappy," and we hung up. And all of a sudden, my joy had come back. My joy meter felt a lot closer to full when it had been empty just moments before. Listen, folks, life isn't quite as enjoyable when we run out of joy. And if you're running on empty, if you've lost or misplaced your joy, Jesus wants to help you with that here this morning. The Apostle John, in this beautiful text, in John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. You see it, don't you? If you look at the Bible, you will notice that it's the story of Jesus' first miracle at a wedding. He turned water into wine. And I submit to you today that what Jesus did in this miracle was that he restored joy to the party. He restored joy to their lives. And you and I can come to this beautiful story, John chapter 2, verse 111, and we can ask ourselves, how does Jesus restore joy? Because John, in this passage, he talks about Jesus and he talks about the third day. Why does he do that? Because Jesus had just previously called his first five disciples. And I think when when John talks about this third day, he's giving us a hint about the resurrection of Jesus. Because soon after calling these five, they're invited to this party. They're invited to this marriage feast in Canaan. And Jesus ends up doing what? He ends up restoring joy to the party. Now think about this, folks. Wine at the party. Wedding. A wedding feast. Weddings are expensive. Listen, I know that better than most. Our daughters got married 10 months apart. Okay? We were the poorest people in Pennsylvania for quite a while. Two weddings, 10 months apart. If you look at this story, you see that this is a wedding. And what was going on was this festive activity, this Jewish wedding feast. It lasted not a day, but a full week. They would begin with kind of a parade. The father of the bride would bring his daughter to the home of the groom, and the whole town would join in on this parade. It was a huge celebration for everyone. And when they arrived at the groom's home, the marriage ceremony would take place right there at the front door. And then the feast would begin. 7 days, paid for by the groom's family. I'm glad I'm alive today and not then. Think about it, there was no honeymoon. They had an open house and an open bar for a week, lots of food, lots of wine, a week-long celebration, and Jesus and his disciples were invited. Imagine that. then all of a sudden it says there in the beginning, if you look at the text, you can read it. It says that Jesus invited to the wedding, and when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Probably the worst thing that could be heard here at this particular time. They have no wine. And then Jesus says to his mother, because the mother wants him to do something about it, he says to her, says, "My time has not yet come." But then she looks at those around her and she says to them, do you notice? Do you see what he says? She says to those around her, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And then all of a sudden they notice these six jars, 20 to 30 gallons each. Earthen vessels that have been purified to be used in these acts of purification. And Jesus tells them to take these six earthen jars and to fill them full of water. And they did. And then right away, Jesus says to the people, says, "Take this to the master of the house." And he did. And the master of the house drank the water, and it was wine. Matter of fact, it was the best wine. Now, what do we learn from that story? I think that what we do is that we learn how to restore joy. How to restore joy to our lives when we lose it. That's what they lost. They lost joy. They lost the enjoyment of the celebration that we were in. Can you bring me one of those, please? Thank you. I can't get rid of these sniffles. Thank you. Let me give you the first thing. The first thing that you need to do to make sure that you restore joy to your life is that you need to be where Jesus is. You need to be where Jesus is. If you notice, when they ran out of wine, the very first thing that anyone thought of was get Jesus. How about that? You know, we've had some events here at the church, and we've run out of this, that, and the other, and we always say to somebody, here's $20, go to Martin's. But they said, "Where's Jesus?" You see, we need to understand, folks, that if we want to restore joy to our lives, we have to make sure that that's where we are, that we are in the presence of Jesus. His mother went to him with a need, with a problem. They have no wine. And listen, it's important to understand that in the Jewish literature, anytime they talked about wine, it was a reference to a symbol of joy. To run out of wine was to run out of joy, which is a very serious thing to happen at a Jewish wedding feast. The groom's parents were responsible to make sure that there was enough of everything, that there was enough wine to last for the whole celebration. But for whatever reason, they ran out. And the solution was to go to Jesus. You know, it'd be like McDonald's running out of hamburgers or Giant Eagle running out of food. It just should never happen. And beloved, listen, it's important to know that where we find our joy is with Jesus. Because here, let me tell you something. Whatever is important to you is important to him. Whatever worries you is important to Jesus. Whatever your struggle is, he's interested in that. I mean, when you're down, when you're hurting, when you're struggling, when you feel like you're running on empty, Jesus wants to help. But here's the thing, folks. We got to be where he is. A lot of times we find ourselves, somewhere else. And listen, don't ever forget, the further away you are from Jesus, the further away you are from joy. Think about it, ladies. If you ask your son to carry out the garbage and he said, "Woman, what concern is that to you? My hour has not yet come." Your reaction would be probably very much different than Jesus. But by him calling her woman and not mother or mom, it was a statement representing respect. And although it might sound harsh, it was not as harsh as we might make it out to be. Jesus uses this designation for his mother only one other time. When he was being crucified, if you remember, he said, "Woman, behold your son." He said, "Son, behold your mother." Jesus isn't going to ignore his mother's request. He did something about it. And we have to know that for us to be able to restore our joy, that we need to be where Jesus is. Here, let me give you another one, equally as important. And that is that we need to be aware of the need. We need to be aware of what the need really is. Mary knew what to do. She knew to take it to Jesus, give it to Jesus. But she wasn't sure what he would do. But here's the thing, folks. She had confidence in him. She knew that her son, Jesus, would handle the situation. Here are these six large 20 to 30 gallon stone water jars, which were used before and after meals for Jewish purification rites. But by this time, they were empty. And Jesus was aware of what the need was with the people, and he was willing to meet that need. And listen, folks, Jesus is aware of our need. But are we? And do we understand what he's willing and able and capable to do about our need? You need peace? He's the Prince of Peace. You need comfort? I'm going to leave you a comforter. You need strength? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Whatever it is we need, whatever our need may be, We must understand and be aware of that need so that we can be near him and receive whatever it is we need. And listen, folks, it should never be unexpected when God comes to the rescue, when God gives us exactly what we need. Last night, Arlene and I were going to the funeral for June's brother, and I was watching the University of Tennessee football game in the afternoon. It was time to leave for the funeral. It was only halftime. We were winning 28-27 at halftime, barely. And these people were running up the yards like crazy. It's like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose again. And you know, your team's winning now like crazy, and my team is like on the free fall. And that's okay. But we went to the funeral, and it was beautiful. And I was really glad to be there to support June and everything. And after it was over, we came out of the car, and so the first thing I wanted to do is check the score. So I popped up the app on my phone, and I looked at the score, and Tennessee had won 63-37. I got on and listened to the coach's press conference after the game, and Coach Bush Jones said that he went in at halftime, and he said that he told the team what they needed to do. And it worked supremely. And here's the point, folks. We may think we're in the battle of our lives. We may think that we're winning a little bit. Maybe we're losing. Maybe we're getting bowled over by our competition. But when we understand what our need is, and our greatest need is to be near him so that he can restore our joy, that's when we can find beauty and happiness in everything. So think about it. Be where Jesus is. Be aware of the need. And thirdly, finally, be obedient. Be obedient to the Father. Mary knew what to do. Let Jesus take care of it. Give it to him. She was not sure what he would do, but she had confidence in him. And she knew that her son would handle the situation. And here are these six large water jars. And by this time, they're not full of anything. But Jesus says, bring them to him. And they needed wine. And all he had was water. Think about that, folks. Every time you see them discussing water in the Bible, it's often a symbol of the Word of God. It's a symbol of the refreshment of the Spirit. Paul tells Ephesians, clean with the washing of water by the Word, Ephesians 5. And Jesus told his disciples later in his ministry, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. The servants here probably didn't even understand why Jesus wanted these stone jars. But they got them. They obeyed. And Jesus obeyed. And if you want to have joy restored in your life, obey. For when you do not obey, you live in disobedience to Jesus and his word. And that's when you begin to lose joy. So remember these words, okay? Remember these words. Be where Jesus is. Be aware of the need. And be obedient to the Father. And you will have your joy restored. Do you listen to AM radio here any locally? Now, I think I'm going to become the greatest Penn State fan ever. And I'm going to tell you why. Only because of, now I hope I get his name right, because I don't remember. Steve Jones. Is that his name? Yes. Okay, I heard the yeah. Don would know this. All over AM radio here in our area, they keep playing the replay of the Ohio State game when the kick was blocked. And Steve Jones describes that young man picking it up. What was his name? Huh? You don't even know his name? You would know that, yes. And what did he do? Fall on the ground? No, he ran it back for a touchdown, right? And Steve Jones describes this, and then he says, McSorley takes a knee, and 138,000 are on their feet cheering. It is an incredible replay. Have you heard it? It is awesome. Every time I hear that, I'm serious. It just hypens up my enjoyment of what this team is doing. And you know what, folks? We need to do that very same thing in our lives. Because sadly, we're often filled with the old wash water of the world. That's what those jars had in them. And there's no room for the new wine. The best wine. Maybe it's because we have some pride within us. Maybe that needs to be emptied out. Maybe some of us have bitterness that needs to be emptied out. Some of us probably have guilt that needs to be emptied out. Sorrow that needs to be emptied out. Resentment that needs to be emptied out. Selfish living that needs to be emptied out. Bitterness and envy that needs to be emptied out and to be refilled. Because we're in the presence of Jesus. And we are aware of our needs, and he's going to meet them. And through our obedience, our joy is going to be made full. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to yield all of who we are to your transforming power. God, break us when we need to be broken. Strengthen us, Lord, when we need strength. And God, help us to empty ourselves that we may be refilled and refreshed by your Holy Spirit with the joy of our salvation. And oh God, help us not to run our race through life on empty. But Lord, may we be filled from the inside out with your joy, with your love, with your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.